Let's pray. God, we come again to worship you on another Sunday. And yet today we celebrate Easter. We celebrate your resurrection. As I share the message and we all hear it, transform us. Allow us to be more of your Easter people. Show us who you are again this day, by your power and might and grace. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. So, how many of you remember getting your first answering machine to your landline? I think, so as I was thinking about it, one of the ways that my family tells time is by what house we lived in. Because I moved a lot as a kid up until eighth grade. And I remember when we first got our first answering machine, my dad was so excited. Like, it was like he got a new toy, and he played with that thing for at least an hour, recording and re-recording and recording. And I must have been either 11 or 12 because we lived in the house on Buckminster. It was the last house that we lived in Novi, which is outside of Detroit. And I remember looking at my dad going, he's very excited about this. I'm not sure why. Like, you know, and I think the first message that he ever recorded for the answering machine was something like, you know, you've reached the all backers, blah, 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 blah. And then he did like this weird kind of aggressive talk at the beat. Like, because you had to remind people or instruct them, don't start talking yet. You know, talk after the beep. And just, that's one of those weird things that I remember from childhood, right? But the gist of having an answering machine or a voicemail, whatever it is now, is that we're not available, right? We're not here to leave the message. And it's funny because as I was reflecting on the scripture passage, like, that's kind of what I thought the angel is like. The angel was basically Jesus' answering machine. Like, sorry, Marys, you know, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Jesus isn't here. You know, and thanks, you know, thanks for stopping, but he's not here. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to visit a dead body. Right, as is Jewish custom, right? They were prepared to, basically prepared to prepare and continue kind of taking care of the body. And they had found out through this angel a messenger, right? Was sharing a message that Jesus wasn't there. They found out that God had done something miraculous. A first in terms of the history of humanity, right? So let's recap the last week of Jesus' life. And these are just highlights. A lot more happened. You can go and read in Matthew and John and Luke what happens. So last week we had Palm Sunday, right? Jesus triumphantly enters into the holy city of Jerusalem on a colt, on a young donkey, with its mother. Jesus is celebrated, right? Like, so then as you continue reading Matthew, Jesus gets a bit angry. He overturns the tables in the temple because they're fleecing people and basically, you know, taking people's money And as Jesus does this, this is the last straw, essentially, for the Jewish elite. They're like, okay, we're done with this man. We need to take care of him. Fast forward a couple days, and Jesus tells his disciples to prepare for the Passover. It's what we call the Last Supper and celebrate on Monday, Thursday. And so they have the Last Supper, they have the feet washing. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's arrested, brought before the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish body, governmental body. He's then brought to Pilate. He's put on trial, and people turn on him. He's beaten. He's mocked. His clothes are basically bedded away. And then he, as is Roman custom, has to carry his own cross from the place where he's put on trial to where he's going to be crucified. And then he's crucified with two others for all to see. We often picture the cross as something that's up high. It's not. Jesus may have been maybe, you know, this high off the ground, like maybe 18 inches, because he had to put the cross in himself with help, I'm assuming. But you were at eye level. You could basically look people in the eye. It was a way that the Romans enforced their peace. It was an extreme punishment, an extreme humiliation for anyone who had to go through it. So Jesus is crucified for all to see about 9 in the morning, and then dies around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And because it is the Passover, and because the Sabbath is coming at sundown, Joseph of Arimathea takes Jesus down and then puts him in his tomb. The tomb is shut, and the disciples flee. They hide, because their hope died on the cross. They didn't understand what Jesus had been telling them for the last 3 years. Understandable, right? Like, it's a weird thing. Oh, you know, I'll be dead for 3 days, and then I'll be alive again. They didn't have any way to understand that, because it hadn't happened yet. And then we get to Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the first day after Sabbath. And the Marys, they show up to tend the body. And there are guards there, Jewish guards specifically, because the Jewish elite didn't trust Jesus' disciples to not steal the body and then claim resurrection. But then the angel shows up, and the guards literally faint, because there's never a time in scripture where an angel shows up and someone's not afraid. You know, their first comment pretty much always is, "Do not be afraid. Thanks. Unhelpful," right? And so the guards are afraid. I'm sure the Marys were afraid, but they didn't faint. The angel was there in some ways to show them that what Jesus had been talking about actually happened. They weren't there to see the body. They were there to see the empty tomb. And the thing about the guards, right, that were there, the Jewish ruling elite that sent the guards to be there, what they didn't understand is that you can't guard someone you don't have power over, right? Like, Jesus' power as divine was so much more than being guarded in a tomb. And when the tomb was opened by the angel and there was an earthquake, Jesus wasn't there. The body was not there. His promise came true. And the disciples and followers got to reorient themselves again, really, to this new normal, a phrase that I think most people hate now because of the pandemic. But the followers of Jesus had a new normal. They got used to him being different in his own way while he was preaching, going around doing healings, you know, miraculous signs and wonders. He died. They lost hope. And then this other peculiar thing happened that they got to experience. And I've entitled my message, Where It Begins Again, is because on this day, not only for us as an Easter people, but also for the disciples and the followers of Jesus, their faith in Jesus begins again. Our faith can begin again. As I said earlier, you know, the disciples followed Jesus. They watched him through his ministry. They supported his ministry, saw his miraculous deeds and all of these things, right? And they were also with him at the end of his life. And the thing that is, I'm not sure what it is really, but to me, this is kind of like the fundamental foundation of Christianity, is that the crucifixion that happened Friday has no power without the resurrection. Because if there was no resurrection, we'd be worshiping a martyr. We'd be worshiping a dead guy. How many of you say that you worship a dead guy? Okay, good. We're all on the same page. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Our Jesus is not dead. He's resurrected in one of the biggest mysteries of all time. We don't understand how it happened. We can't fathom how or why in some ways. And yet we know it's true. And we see in the second part of our scripture that Jesus interacted with his followers after he was resurrected. And as we go through the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear additional stories of how Jesus did that. Several years ago, probably 14 or 15 now at this point, I came across this song that has stuck with me. And the chorus of it talks or speaks to the power of the God that we believe in, specifically through Jesus' life. So here are the words. Here's the chorus of this song. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. This is who we believe in. Anybody can be born. Anybody can die. We all do it. But it's the resurrection that makes our faith special. Because our hope is in the empty tomb. Our hope is in the risen Christ. And as the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. The power of the gospel is the both and, not only of death, of crucifixion, but also resurrection. Our story begins again as we're living as an Easter people with celebrating this resurrected Christ. Our story begins again with us being able to identify how we've encountered the risen one. Because that's why we're here. I would hope We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, which has had a profound impact on our lives. So as you go from this place this week, think about it in your opportunity for growth section at the bottom of your bulletin. How have I encountered the risen Christ? It's one of the ways that we share our faith and can answer the question of who is Jesus to me? And so it begins again. Our story begins again. In the risen one, the hope that we have of a living God, and the beautiful relationship that we get to have as an Easter people. Amen.